Hi everyone, just a quick note before we get started. When we recorded the first four episodes of this season, I accidentally left the recording source as my laptop's microphone instead of our more upscale setup. This resulted in uneven audio, with me being louder and David, who sits across the table, being quieter. As a result, the audio quality in these first four episodes is less than I'm used to putting out. I used every trick I know to get something usable, and hopefully these are still listenable. This is something I care about being good, and I probably have to admit that it hurts my ego if these episodes are someone's first listen, and they think that we're always at this level. And because of my ego issues, I'm going to run this little disclaimer before the four affected episodes, and that will allow me to get over myself enough to publish these. On to the show.
Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to continue our third episode into delving into the NC2A two umpire mechanics clarifications and changes for the 2025-2026 season, based on some guidance that was published in September, back until fall 2025. We're recording this in January 2026, heading into this season, and we're just going over this for all the people that work a lot of NC2A games as two umpire systems, which, you know, includes all pretty much Division III, Division II games get worked that way until you start getting to the postseason. So there's a lot of people working a lot of games this way. So let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's do it. So we made it all the way through to situations where there is a runner on third. And in this particular situation, the runner on third, there is a hit to the infield. And the plate umpire's responsibility here is read the play and adjust to R3 coming home and or be ready to help with a second set of eyes on the potential play at third base. So that second set of eyes, what's a potential play at third base, Pete? What might somebody do at third? We've got a base hit to the infield.
Yeah.
Right. So the shortstop is going to hit she's going to field the ball in this case, and she's going to try to hold the runner at third.
Yeah. So she might look the runner at third, usually look her back, go first. Maybe she pauses too long. And so she whips a throw over there to try to snag her getting off the base.
That's right. Maybe the runner at third went, oh crap, and brain farted.
Yeah.
And took four steps off the bag. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to have a snap throw at third, maybe to try to back pick her instead of getting the runner at first or the batter at first. So the base umpire here is going to make all calls on the batter runner at first and second base. If the initial throw is to third base, move to the primary position at third base. Make all calls at third on R3 at third base. Plate umpire is making calls at home.
Yep.
And being a second set of eyes. Base umpire has the rest of it.
Yeah, because of the threat of three coming home, the plate umpire is pretty tied to the plate.
Yeah.
And then that's why the base umpire is making those calls. Stinks. You got to make calls at third and first, and those are very far apart on the diamond.
One of the worst mechanics in softball, and it's like Winston Churchill said about democracy, right? A horrible way to run a country, but it's the best the world's got. This mechanic, the base umpire making a call at first base from behind the shortstop, and being responsible for calls at third, just it's like horrible. There's no better way to do it, guys.
Right.
You know, it's just, I've got how it has to go. Two umpire system. Colleges, umpire, universities don't like that. No problem. Pay for a third umpire.
Yeah. I'd love to work them.
Yeah. All right. So the next one, runner on third still. We have a fly ball, a line drive to the infield, and the ball is caught. So remember, we're talking about, just if you listen to the last episode when we had runner at second, we are now talking very specifically about a ball up in the air, but it's up in the air to the infield players, and the ball is caught. What does the plate umpire do? Runner at third.
So they move into the direction of the flight of the ball, and then moving to obtain the best angle to watch the catch, no catch, and tag up at third base. So for a plate, that is your responsibility, that tag at third on that fly ball to the infield, and you need to make all calls on R3 that come to home plate. I assume you would also make all calls in. Oh, the ball's caught. Yeah, there's nobody else, I guess. I was going to say, you got all calls at home. Why didn't I mention them? Oh, yeah, batter runner has excused themselves by popping the ball up.
They already gone.
Yeah.
So the base umpire's responsibility on this fly ball line drive to the infield that is cocked with a runner at third is to make all calls on R3 at third base if the initial play is to third, or if R3 is returning to third by moving to a calling position to see the leading edge of third base. It's an important piece there. To see the leading edge of third base. This is a tag play. Sorry, this is a force play.
Yeah, so a tag up situation.
Yeah, right. Situation. You want that leading edge of third base. The other thing I would say here is that when we talk about It says to obtain the best angle to watch the catch, no catch, and the tag up. You need to keep in mind, a lot of times, if you're the plate umpire and you're chasing out a fly ball, right, you're running toward the ball. If this fly ball is to the first baseman, right, let's say it's not a line drive, it's actually a fly ball, a pop-up fly ball.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be sprinting to what we would call the holding zone between home and third so that you can see the runner at third and the catch at first base. Think about how you're going to get your eyes on both of those things.
Mm-hmm.
You are not going to be in the diamond. You're going to be out the diamond. And you are going to be as far out the diamond as you possibly can and as far down toward that third base dugout as you possibly can to be able to see that tag up. Then you got to bust your butt back to home if she does tag up and go, now, it's a fly ball in the infield. Ching.
Right.
It's probably. So prioritize that tag up and catch, no catch. Make sure that you can see both of those things. All right. The rest of it actually, I mean, perfect sense, right? It's the base umpire make all calls on or three at third base. Love it. All right, Pete, what's the next one?
So now we're starting to get complicated. Clackety, clackety, clack. Runners on first and second, first and third, second and third, or bases loaded. So we got some stuff happening.
Wow.
We got runners on, got multiple runners. The plate them.
It's essentially multiple runners on.
Yeah, just multiple runners, right? Moving towards the holding zone between home plate and third to align with the ball and R3 and see the tag up. After the catch, read the initial throw from the outfield and commit to any play on R3 at third base and home or on R2 at third.
Wow. Okay. Remember, now this is ball hit to the outfield, ball is caught. Plate's job, make the call and have your tag up responsibility on R3.
I will note, actually, just as quick. So we talked about third base infield ball is caught. It did not cover a runner on third only, ball to the outfield, ball is caught.
Oh, it didn't.
So it did. You know, even remember earlier we had no change when it was like runner first, no change.
Yeah.
It didn't even address no change. So it's like, so if anyone's following along and think that we skip, we didn't skip. This is right where it jumps to. This is right where we're at. So.
Yeah. So it's probably no changes because they did say at the beginning of this article.
Yes. If it's not addressed, use the book.
Yeah. If it's not in here, use the book. All right. So multiple runners on base, ball hit to the outfield, ball is caught, plate umpire moving the holding zone and to align with the ball in R3 to see the tag up. That same caution that I had before, you know, if the ball's to the right side, you're going to have to go further down the line to get both into your line of vision there.
Mm-hmm.
After the catch, read the initial throw from the outfield and commit to any play on R3 at third and home or on R2 at third. So in other words, there's not going to be a play going home. They're going to try to nail the runner going to third.
Yeah, you got multiple people tagging up on the diamond, whether it's 2 and 3 or 1 and 3 or 1 and 2. Lots of people on the diamond. You're assuming girl on third scores. So somebody else is going somewhere.
Yeah. So after the catch, read the initial throw from the outfield and commit to any play on R3 at third or home and on R2 at third.
Yep.
Love it. Base umpire.
So move into the diamond to align with the ball and R2 and watch the tag up. After the catch, quickly turn to see the tag up at first. Make all calls on first at first and second. Be prepared to take R2 to third base if a play is made on R3 at home plate. So we talked earlier that, you know, R2 might, or the plate umpire might get R2 at third base, but they're pointing out the base umpire has R2 at third base if R3 had a home play at home. Because so the home umpire is otherwise engaged, got themselves at home to handle that play. Maybe there was a tag up, second and third both tagged up. Play goes home from the outfield. Plate umpire is here. Catcher makes that play, safe or out, doesn't matter. Snaps the ball back to third. It's got to be the base. Be there.
You got to be there. Yeah, for sure.
So moving to the diamond, see the tag. They are admitting here between bullet points 1 and 2, you are not really going to be able to see or put yourself in a position to see the tag up at second, assume base is loaded, see the tag up at second and first simultaneously. They're saying, focus hard on that second base tag up and then cut, like, quick as you can, turn a glance and see where that person is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll do a lot better on a deep ball to right field, right center field.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get in the diamond far enough to be able to see both in your...
Yeah, peripheral. Yeah.
But if it's over your head, you know, left side, you have multiple runners, right? So you're on the left side of the diamond.
Mm-hmm.
If it's over your head left side, then yeah, you're not going to see that one at first. But the more important one, they're both important, but the more important one is the leader,
yeah,
right? The second base one, for sure. Love it. And I love moving into the diamond too, by the way. And if it's over your head, you have to not only move into the diamond, but you also have to turn around.
Turn around?
Yeah. but not Bowman. Sorry, I had to do it. Okay, final one from this publication. Runners on first and second, first and third, second and third are bases loaded. Same as before. Multiple runners on base.
But, yeah, the only difference now is no catch.
Right. Ball is not caught. Mm-hmm. So the plate is to move toward the holding zone between home plate and third base. Make all calls on R3, R2, and or R1 at third base. And make all calls on home plate. So, you don't have much to do.
Nope.
It's not much. The base umpires to move into the diamond to make all calls at first and second base. If R1 advances to third base with a play being made on R2 at home, make all calls on R1 at third base. In other words, if something keeps the plate umpire at the plate, you've got third.
Yep.
Yep. Make all calls on the batter runner at the respective bases. That's a very important piece to understand. And it's for everything. And I think that's covered here in the final paragraph of the publication.
Yep.
You want to read that one to us, Pete?
Yeah. So it says, while many of us may already be putting these mechanics into play, the committee felt it was necessary to ensure that they are in writing for consistency purposes. Remember that these are changes and additions. All mechanics not stated in this document still remain the same. Please also understand that once the manual is published, you will see several editorial changes not mentioned here. So they're saying there might be some things in the manual that aren't even covered here.
Yeah. So even back in September, they're working on the CCA manual. I know a long time ago, I had a conversation with Steve McCown when I was out in Oklahoma, and he was talking about trying to get the mechanics more aligned between the USA softball mechanic and the NC2A mechanic. And so I'm only guessing here that this is some of the symptoms of that. So changes are coming to both of those worlds to try to align them, since we have so many umpires that work in both sanctions.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I want to point out that a lot of times when you go to advanced camp, or if you go to, even an NC2A camp that assigners will put on, they'll talk about advanced mechanics and how we do sometimes have to adjust during the game. And so, as they indicated here in this last paragraph, some people have been teaching this already, and some people do it already, because if you're really paying attention and you look up and the plate umpire is stuck making a call at third, even though the manual says he's supposed to make a call on R2 at third, at home, and the manual says he's supposed to make the call on R2 at third, and he's stuck at home, and you're standing in the scene, right?
Where you're supposed to be. I've met all my responsibilities. Not my problem.
Yeah, it's not my problem. No, it is now, right?
Yeah.
So you have to call the game, right? And I think Mike referred to this one time we were talking. He called these like your secondary responsibilities sometimes, mm-hmm. and sometimes tertiary responsibilities. It's like, here's my primary job. And once I get that job done, I have a secondary job.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a third job. The play is still going on. And whoever was supposed to get that play at third ain't here. Well, I got it. One time you want to be careful about that, of course, is if you chase. If you're in a three umpire system, coming back into play is pretty rare. There are some situations where you're allowed to do that. But also, again, you're deviating from the mechanic. And what they've done here is they've kind of put pen to paper on some of those deviations to say they're not only allowed, they're not deviations anymore. They're actually the how we want you to handle it.
Yeah, and it's probably a natural, organic just outcome of sometimes when you have people playing enough games, you figure out these things and you say, now we've seen it. It's kind of, we see what works, we see what doesn't work. And so now what has kind of become accepted practice, let's get them on paper and say, this is, the best of what's kind of just been worked out by the people on the field doing this over and over again. Maybe these deviations are becoming accepted standards, norms, unspoken rules. Well, let's speak them now and make them something.
Codify. I like it. We had a couple of big words in our recording sessions today. So we're getting old, using old words.
Yeah. I mean, New York Times crossword puzzles pay off.
Oh, I thought Wordle did that. No, that's not Wordle. And we're not sponsored by Wordle. We could be, but we're not. All right. So I think that covers kind of the changes in the two-person mechanic, at least for now. We'll see. I'm sure that we're going to have some more things to talk about once the manual actually does get published. The CCA manual for mechanics for NCAA, once it actually gets published, we will dive into that and see if there are some things noteworthy enough to make an episode.
Yeah. And as well as when we start seeing the guidances come out of NFHS. There are a couple of points of emphasis for 2026, but then we'll start to see them from our Ohio sanction and things like that, and start to see those and share those with you as well, just as we're gearing up for the season.
Yeah, really looking forward to this season. It's going to be a great year.
Yep, definitely.
All right, thanks, Pete.
Yep, until next time.